As we remember from weeks that have led up to this, the nation of Israel is at a time of transition. The people have turned away from the Lord. Everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. And yet there are people that have been praying. And Hannah is one, Samuel's mother. And she's been praying. And she, one of the things she's been praying for is a son. And God's answered her prayer for a son. But he did so after she promised to give her son back to the Lord for his service. And so now we're at the point where Samuel is at the tabernacle, living at the tabernacle, serving Eli, the high priest, and the people as they come to worship the Lord there. And we saw in the last chapter just how far everything had fallen as we saw Eli's sons, Hophni and Phinehas, how they were just using the ministry for their own sake, just taking whatever they could get, whatever they wanted from the people, and really despising the Lord and what he had, what he had ordained for the ministry to be. And that showed us how desperate the people were for a change. And so now God has gotten everything to the point where he's ready to call Samuel. The need is very clear. And I bring that up because very often God waits until the need, our needs, are very clear. They're dire needs. You know, how often have we said, you know, in a year or so, Lord, I'm going to need such and such, and nothing happens. You know, and as the time gets closer, we're saying, well, Lord, you know I'm going to need this, you know, when this time comes, I'm going to need this, and nothing happens. And the closer we get, you know, the more intensely we begin to pray, don't we? The more earnestly we seek the Lord. And the Lord uses that sense of need in our lives to motivate us to pray and to learn to pray in a way that pleases him. So the need of Israel is great. We're not told about people praying, but there are bound to be faithful people in Israel who are praying. So at this point now, God's ready to speak to Samuel. And Samuel is ministering in the temple. It says he's a boy, but that word is used of a broad span of age. Can be a young boy, can be up to an unmarried adult male. One of the historians says he's about 12 at this point, which seems like a reasonable guess. But he's ministering to the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Isn't that an interesting statement? You know, we have so much of the word of God in our society. You know, we can flip on the radio and there are numerous stations we can listen to. We can go to even a secular bookstore and we can find a shelf or a whole bookcase of religious books. You know, there's publications. You can go on the internet. There's tons of Christian ministries. It seems a little hard for us to relate to the idea that the word of the Lord was rare. And yet, what it means is that God wasn't speaking throughout the nation. The nation was not hearing from the Lord. And that's primarily because the nation wasn't in a place to listen to the Lord. They really didn't care that much. And so they weren't hearing from the Lord. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no widespread revelation. Now, revelation is just a revealing of something. And God's word is a revelation to us. It's a revelation of his character. It's a revelation of what he's like. It's a revelation of his work, how he wants to work in people's lives. It's a revelation of his plans, what he's got in store for the future. You know, too often we focus only on that part, but the revelation incorporates all of what God is communicating to man. And there was no widespread revelation. There was nothing being shared from God that was spreading throughout the land. It's kind of how our society is when you stop and think about it. It's like there are all these things going on in different parts of the nation, in different people's lives. But God has not gripped us as a nation. As a nation, brought us together to pray for God to move in our land. You know, he's showing us the need. As we watch the way our society is going, he's showing us more and more there's a need for us to be praying for our nation. There's a need for God to grip the heart of this nation. I don't know how many of you have been walking with the Lord for a long time, but when I was young, God gripped the heart of this nation. He just really gripped the heart of this nation. And partly he did it through the young people of the land. The hippies, as the hippies started getting saved, the Jesus movement began, and everybody knew what was happening. It's like, this is something very unusual. All these people that were strung out on drugs, you know, they were dirty with long hair and you know, dropping out and tuning in and dropping acid, and you know, there's all this stuff going on. And God reached down into the midst of all that sin and saved people. That got people's attention. And he saved people, and it was just an incredible movement of God through our land. Many, many, many people came to the Lord during that time. Those are the roots of the Calvary Chapel movement, was in the Jesus movement. And that's kind of what we need again today. You know, over time, it's like we've just kind of backed off from the Lord. Little by little, the fire has burned down low. The lamp has not gone out yet, but it's like the lamp has dimmed. The light is not bright any longer. And we need it to be. We need it to be. And so at times like this, it should remind us that we need to be in prayer for our land. God lets that need be known so that we can seek Him, so that He can meet the need. So Samuel is ministering at the tabernacle, and he's lying down at night, and the Lord calls him. The Lord calls him, and Samuel jumps up and he runs to Eli. Now, Eli is old at this time, and he's heavy, and his eyes are beginning to go. He's not being able to see well. So obviously, he's going to need some help from time to time. Samuel's been trained, when you hear me call, you come and help. And so he hears his name, and he jumps up and he goes to Eli. He says, "Hey, here I am. You called me." And Eli says, "Well, I didn't call you. You know, go back to sleep." And so Samuel goes, lies down, and again, he hears this voice. So he jumps up, and he goes to Eli. He's sleeping in the tabernacle, you know, this tent, all these animal skins over the top of the tent. It's dark inside, but there's the candlestick there. And he's running to where Eli is lying down. And he says, "Here I am. You called me." Eli says, "No, I didn't call you. Go lie down again." And the third time, God calls Samuel, and he gets up, and he runs to Eli, and he says, "Here I am, for you did call me." And Eli's thinking, you know, "I'm glad I don't have my own kids at an age like this." You know, this is why, you know, you have your kids when you're young, because three times in the same night, it's not good for us. You know, the older we get, the harder these things are. So Eli's tired. You know, he's been awakened three times in the middle of the night, but all of a sudden it dawns on him, hey, why is he coming like this? You know, something's going on here. It's the Lord that's speaking to him. It's the Lord. Now, we saw last week how Eli had sinned against God by honoring his sons more than God. And we saw a lot of problems in his life where he wasn't disciplining his sons. And yet there are some good things about Eli. He recognized that this was the Lord calling Samuel. And he didn't just brush it off. He showed Samuel what to do. And it says in verse 10, when the Lord came the third time, it says, "Now the Lord came and stood and called, as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered." And he answered according to what Eli had said, almost. Eli had told him, say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And look at how Samuel responds when the Lord calls him. And Samuel answered, "Speak, for your servant hears." Do you notice the difference? It's always very interesting to watch carefully the scripture and look at the words that are used. "Speak, Lord, for your servant listens," or "your servant hears," is what Eli said. Samuel says, "Speak, for your servant hears." Samuel doesn't yet know the Lord. He knows about the Lord. He's serving in the tabernacle, but he doesn't know him personally. And so he's somehow hesitant to say, "Speak, Lord." But he says, "Speak, your servant hears." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "Behold, I will do something in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows, because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. And therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever." Now, think about what's going on here, right? The nation needs a prophet, a strong prophet, to speak the word of God to them in a way that they won't be able to escape. God is raising up a prophet in the person of Samuel. God's been training him in the service at the tabernacle, and now God's training him partly to hear his voice and partly to speak for him. That's what a prophet is someone who speaks for God. And so God's calling Samuel to be his prophet, and he's giving him his first prophetic message. What a message to give. What a message to give to the person that's been caring for him, the person that he's under in ministry. He's going to go and rebuke him very strongly. Look at the content of this message. This message is about judgment to come. Eli already knows all these things. God has spoken them to him. He spoke to him through the prophet in the last chapter. But now he's just emphasizing again. He says, I'm going to do something at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. It's going to be extreme. Judgment's going to be extreme. In that day, I will perform against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house. The judgment's going to be complete. God's not going to back off. You know, sometimes our parents don't train us to think of God the way God really is. You know, we were warned about things. You know, if you do this, this is what's going to happen to you. And sometimes we did it anyway, didn't we? And then we found out whether our parents were going to follow through completely or not. And a lot of times they didn't. I don't know, maybe your parents did. But a lot of times parents don't follow through with what's really a promise to their children. They back off. They say, well, you know, there are extenuating circumstances here. You know, maybe they didn't understand exactly what I meant. And sure, sometimes we need to give our kids the benefit of the doubt. But a lot of times we need to be clear and we need to be firm. And we, as a society, don't tend to believe in judgment anymore. It's like we believe that there's a warning, but we think that God's just not going to follow through. We're free to go ahead and do the things that he's warned us against, thinking, you know, he's really not going to carry out judgment against us. You know, he's too loving. He's too soft. You know, we'll be able to convince him somehow that he's not going to bring out against us a full judgment. But this is God's character being revealed to us here. I'm going to perform against him everything I've spoken from beginning to end. From beginning to end, it's going to be a complete judgment. And he goes on and says, I have told him that I will judge his house forever. Forever. That's another thing we don't tend to believe about judgment. We don't tend to believe it's going to be a forever judgment. We think it's just going to be a little while. Oh yeah, you know, well, we'll suffer for a little while and then everything will be fine. No, God judges eternally. I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knows. It's iniquity which he knows. Because his sons made themselves vile and he did not restrain them. This judgment is going to be just. God's made things clear to Eli. He's given him a warning. He's given him another warning. And he's telling him now, this judgment is going to be just. God is always just in his judgment. A lot of times we don't understand why God does certain things. But you know what? God is always just. He's always just. That never changes about him. And so if we don't understand, we can rest in God's character. Too many people get confused and they define in their own mind what God's character ought to be. And they say, if God is good, then he'll do things this way. And then God does something totally different. And we think, well, God must not be good. No. What's happened is we didn't understand God's goodness. We defined it incorrectly. God is good and God is just. And God is going to be just in judgment. God is going to be just in his judgment. He's warned Eli that this is coming. And then in verse 14, and therefore I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. That's really heavy, isn't it? There's going to be no atoning forever. There comes a point in everyone's life at which repentance is too late. At which it's too late to repent. Not that God's not willing to accept our repentance, but we become so set in our ways that we no longer can repent. It's too late for us. I remember reading in a newspaper years ago about a truck driver and his wife who came down from Oregon and went into San Francisco and they got lost and they made some wrong turns and they wound up pulling into this one street where it was basically a dead end. It was a little court and the truck driver got out to try and figure out, how am I going to get out of this? How am I going to get out of this? Well, he got mugged downtown San Francisco at night. And he got mugged. But that picture stuck with me because there are sometimes where you can go places where you can't turn around. There wasn't enough room for him to turn his truck around. And we can do that with our souls, where we can take our lives places where there's no longer room for us to turn around. It's not that God's not willing. It's that we've fixed our heart so in opposition to him that we're not able to change. We're not able to repent. Beware of that. God is saying the time is coming when it's too late for atonement. It's too late to make a sacrifice and make it right. Now, the way that God states this might make you believe that it is too late. And as we see, it is. Eli doesn't change. Theoretically, though, I don't think it's too late. I think every time God gives us a warning, it's because he wants to give us a chance. He wants to give us a chance to turn from our sins. The very fact that God gives us a warning means he still cares. He still wants us to repent. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so when God gives you a warning, take it to heart. Don't wait. Have you ever gotten those general kind of warnings where God says, you know, you're going the wrong way, and if you keep going this way, you're going to be sorry? You ever get those? Oh, I don't like those warnings. It's like, okay, can you be more specific? You know, what's it going to cost me? I want to know how much it's going to cost me so I can decide whether I want to go this way. And though sometimes God just says, no, you're going to be sorry if you do this. And when he says that, we need to stop, don't we? So this is the message that God gives Samuel to give to Eli. To give to Eli. Now, if you're Samuel, you've already been awakened three times in the night. I don't know, actually, maybe he didn't go to sleep in between. You know, if it were me, I'd probably been lying awake going, what was this all about? You know, why is Eli saying he didn't call me? Anyway, now you've been given this message. And it says, so Samuel lay down until morning. Doesn't say he went to sleep. He's got this message that he's going to have to deliver. And he goes and he lies back down until morning. And then when he wakes up, does he run to Eli to give him the message? No. Would you? I wouldn't. Lay down until morning. And then he arose and he went and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. That's part of his service, was to open the doors of the house of the Lord, the tabernacle, in the morning. And Samuel was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Then Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. He answered, here I am. And he said, what is the word that the Lord spoke to you? Please do not hide it from me. God do so to you, and more also, if you hide anything from me of all the things he said to you. Now I want to point out something about Eli in this chapter. Samuel needs to share the truth. God's given him a message, and he needs to share it. No matter how uncomfortable it is for him, he needs to share it. Eli knows that. And so he basically puts Samuel under a curse. You know, if you don't share it, may God do to you what he shared with you. It's good for Samuel to be pushed into this, isn't it? You know, sometimes we need that little shove, that little prod, to do what we know we need to do. That's part of the reason God makes us a body of Christ. We need one another. We need that word of encouragement sometimes. We need that word of exhortation, that little kick from behind sometimes to take that next step forward. And Eli is being helpful to Samuel. He's giving him good counsel, not just here, but back earlier when he told Samuel what to say when the Lord called him. Twice in this chapter, Eli gives Samuel good counsel, and Samuel follows it. Do you see the difference between Eli's sons and Samuel? Eli gave his sons a good warning, didn't he? But they didn't follow it. Sometimes our words are more effective with other people's kids than our own. You ever notice that? It's like, why don't my kids listen to me? Well, because they know you, partly. They know where you're coming from. They know where your sin is. They know where your lack of faith is. They know when you're being selfish about what you're saying. And so sometimes they're not going to listen to you. But you know what? Satan will use that to discourage us, especially when our children are struggling, maybe not even walking with the Lord. Satan will use that to discourage us from speaking the truth to anybody. Say, who are you to share with somebody else when you can't even share effectively with your own children? You know what? That's not God. God wants us to be faithful to share the truth, no matter whether people listen to us or not. Even if there are our own children and they ought to know enough to listen to us, and they don't, He still wants us sharing the truth with others. You know, how often has someone's heartache over their own children been a motivation in their lives to bless other people's children? You know, to volunteer for children's ministry, to speak the truth into someone else's life, and their understanding of how they failed their own children can be tremendous help in ministering to other children. And the same with other adults. So don't let Satan discourage you from speaking the truth to others. No matter how people have responded to you in the past, and no matter whether it was your own fault that they responded to you that way, don't let Satan stop you from speaking the truth to others. So Eli gives Samuel this exhortation. And in verse 18 it says, "Then Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, 'It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him.'" Now, that's kind of a good thing to say, and it's kind of not a good thing, right? When the Lord has determined something, yes, we want to accept it. We want to yield to it. Whatever God has ordained to happen, we want to trust Him and accept that. Say, this is God's will. I'm going to accept it. And yet, if it's something that God doesn't want to do, and He wants us to do something about changing it, we shouldn't be accepting it, should we? Remember when God appeared to Moses, and the nation of Israel, the children of Israel, had sinned against God, and God said, "Let me alone that I may strike them." Do you remember that? It's almost like, you know, you see the guys joking about fights, and one guy says to another, hold me back. You know, it's like, I don't really want to get in a fight, you know, but I got to. My honor's at stake or something. It's like God saying to Moses, you know, you need to intercede here. You need to intercede for these people because they're worthy of judgment, and judgment's coming, and they need you to intercede on their behalf. That would not have been a good time for Moses to say, well, it's you, Lord. It's let you, you know, do what seems good to you. That's not what God wanted him to say, was it? God didn't want Moses to say, whatever you want to do, Lord, that's fine with me. God wanted Moses to say, no, Lord, spare your people. And he wanted Moses to be in prayer for the people of Israel. And I think this might be that kind of a situation for Eli. And Eli says, well, it's the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him. Sounds good. Sounds spiritual. But I still think at this point, God wanted Eli to fall on his face before the Lord and say, Lord, I've sinned. I'm going to change. I'm going to remove my sons from the priesthood. I'm going to take action. Lord, spare us. Spare us. God is always trying to stir up within us that heart that intercedes for other people, that wants them to know the Lord, that wants to share the truth with them. that wants them to have all the blessings that the Lord has for them. God's trying always to stir that up in us. And sometimes we pray about something, we feel like that's the Lord's will, and it doesn't happen, and we take the same kind of approach. We say, well, the Lord's will be done. The Lord's will be done. Sounds spiritual, doesn't it? And yet sometimes the Lord's will is not for us to stop praying, but it's to pray harder, to seek Him more diligently, to say, Lord, how do You want me to pray about this? I can't believe that this is what You want to do. I can't believe that You want these people perishing. Lord, how do You want me to pray? What do You want me to do? God wants to stir that heart up in us. But at this point, God knows, He's known for years what's happening, what's going to happen. He's known what Eli would be like, and He's been at work behind the scenes to raise up Samuel. The time has come when God's going to bring this transition. And the chapter goes on and says, so Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. None of his words fall to the ground. Is that an interesting phrase? It's like almost like an arrow. You know, you're shooting an arrow towards the target, and you know how it is sometimes? You didn't pull the string back far enough, and the arrow just kind of goes poof, goes out and plops to the ground. A few years ago, I found the BB gun that I had when I was a kid. My parents got me a BB gun when I was 8. And I found my BB gun at their house. I thought, oh, my BB gun. How cool is that? And I got my BB gun. I went and I bought some BBs, and I took it in the backyard, and I go, let's see it. You know, and I cocked it and pulled the trigger, and the BB goes bloop. You know, it was a spring action one, you know, and the spring was dead. And it just went just a couple feet. It's like, wow, that's really disappointing, you know. So you take it apart and you clean it and you try and, no, it's dead, right? That's something falling to the ground. It's not fulfilling its purpose. None of Samuel's words did that. Samuel's words always hit the mark that they were aimed at. Samuel was faithful to speak God's word in such a way that his words had power to accomplish what God had desired of them. That's what we want, isn't it? None of his words fell to the ground. And why is that? The Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. This is one of the best promises in Scripture. And it runs throughout the Scripture. Again and again, you'll see things like the Lord talking to Joshua and saying, be strong and be of good courage, for I am with you. You know, don't be afraid, for I am with you. I am your God. I will never leave you or forsake you. All authority has been given to me. Go, make disciples of all nations. I'll be with you even to the end of the age. Again and again, this promise is given to us. I will be with you. He doesn't say, I will keep you out of trouble. He doesn't say, I'm going to prevent all temptation from coming your way. He doesn't say, you'll never have trials. Your life will just be a bed of roses. He doesn't say you won't suffer or you won't face opposition in life. But he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And God was with Samuel and let none of his words fail. In all Israel, from Dan in the extreme north of Israel to Beersheba in the extreme south, knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Samuel had been established. He'd been confirmed. It was obvious that God had called him as a prophet. Now, a prophet is just someone who speaks on behalf of God. Just speaks on behalf of another. The generic word just means someone who speaks on behalf of someone else, a spokesman. A prophet does that for God. So God gives the prophet words to speak, and the prophet speaks them. That's pretty simple, huh? It gets a little more complicated as we get into the New Testament, because you ask, well, is there still prophecy today? Well, there's kind of like prophecy with a capital P and prophecy with a lowercase p, if you will. All Scripture is given by prophetic utterance, and the Scripture is complete. So there's no prophecy that's going to apply to the whole church that has the authority of God any longer. He's given the whole revelation in His Word. But there's still a gift of prophecy that operates as a person speaks on behalf of God, and God works with power through that person's words. Have you ever experienced this when you're sharing the Lord with someone? And you know, most of us are fairly timid when it comes right down to us. You know, we're shy. We don't feel comfortable getting in someone's face and telling them that they need to repent. But there are times when we take that step and we start to share the Lord with someone and something happens. You know, it's like verses start coming to our head just exactly when they need to hear those verses. And we have an urgency. We have a sense of God speaking through us. And we look back and we say, it's almost like I wasn't talking at all. You ever tell that to someone or you hear someone saying that to you? It's like God is speaking through you and you're being His spokesman. You're exercising the role of a prophet in another person's life, speaking the truth, the Word of God to them. Now, it's not going to be authoritative for the whole body of Christ. That's an area where I think there's a lot of confusion in the church today. In fact, I found a book a few months ago, and it was a book of prophecy written in the late 70s. It's very interesting. All these things that were going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years about, you know, what Russia was going to do and what was going to happen in Israel and the war that was coming, and none of it happened. It was really interesting. You know, looking at this going, wow, this guy was way off. I mean, he was way off. And he was presenting this as the Word of God. You know, this is prophetic utterance. This is going to happen. And then at the very end, there was a little disclaimer. You know, of course, if God's people really pray, then maybe God will change His mind and none of this will happen. I thought, oh yeah, well, it's a good thing you put that in there. There's not going to be prophecy like that that covers everything that's going on. Be careful about the gift of prophecy. God's Word is the main way He's going to speak to us today. Too often we want something exciting. You know, and a person that can tell us what's going to happen in the future. Boy, that sounds exciting. You know, as we come to the end of this year, the newspapers are going to have all this stuff about people giving their prophecies of what's going to happen in the next year. You know, every year, this is what's going to happen this year. And these people are just making educated guesses. You know, they're not hearing from God. God's already showed us His plan for the age. He's shown it in His Word. And if we want to know what's coming, read the Word of God. We may not know the timeline. We may not know the time or the day or the hour that things are going to happen. But we know what's coming. And we can be ready if we believe Him and we follow what God says. But be available to God to speak to other people. God called Samuel to be His prophet. And he spoke in such a way that everyone knew Samuel was God's spokesman. None of his words failed. The whole nation of Israel knew he'd been confirmed as a prophet of the Lord. And then it says, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, where the tabernacle was. For the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. God is still looking for people who will speak to others on His behalf. He may not be looking for you to be a spokesperson to the whole nation of America, but He's looking for you to speak faithfully to other people. Whether it be your closest friend, your closest relative, someone you meet by chance at the gas station, whatever, God wants us to be available to speak for Him. Now, think a little bit about how this came about. God called Samuel. God called him to His service. He came and He spoke to him. And we talk sometimes about having a call to something. Are you called to be a pastor? Are you called to be a worship leader? Are you called to be a missionary? Are you called to do this and to that, to do that? Look at this chapter. Let's look back at it a little bit more and see how God called Samuel. What are the principles of the way God calls someone so that we can better understand what God is calling us to do when we're hearing from Him and when it's just our own thought, our own imagination? First of all, you need to be His. You need to be His. In John chapter 10, Jesus speaking to His disciples said, "My sheep hear My voice. My sheep hear My voice." You know, that implies that it's going to be His sheep that hear His voice, not those who are not His sheep. But it also implies that those who are his sheep will hear his voice. All of us who belong to the Lord, all of us who are following him as our shepherd, should be hearing his voice. Should be hearing his voice. And he says, and they follow me. And they follow me. Even as a shepherd calls out to the sheep and says, follow me. You know, this is the way we're going. This is the way to good pasture. This is the way of safety. This is the direction we're heading. God is calling to us to follow him. And if we're his sheep, we'll hear that and we'll be following him. Samuel heard God's voice and followed. He obeyed. Notice that Samuel was trained to obey. He was trained to listen in the night, wasn't he? He heard a voice. What did he do? He jumped up and he ran to Eli. Samuel had been trained to listen. Sometimes we need to train ourselves a little bit, don't we? We need to shut out all the outside interruptions and just listen. Have you ever noticed when you get serious about prayer, you shut yourself up in your bedroom or something, say, I'm just going to pray for a while before the Lord. All of a sudden, what starts happening? All these thoughts come parading into your mind. And you think, oh man, that's that thing I forgot. I told myself I can't afford to forget that. And it comes when? When you're trying to pray. You know, or there's a ruckus outside, or you know, the kids get in a fight, or whatever. It's like all these distractions come. It's very hard to hear the voice of the Lord when our minds are focused on other things. In our church, when we used to have youth retreats, there was a rule that you couldn't bring any Walkman or any portable stereos or anything. No outside influence. You had to be free from those in order to be able to hear from the Lord. And that's a good thing sometimes to take with you into your prayer time, a little notebook, so you can say, okay, I'm writing that thing down, and now I'm going to forget about it until I'm done praying, so I can listen. We have to train ourselves to listen, don't we? And that's why it's important sometimes to take time apart, not just when you sense that urgency, that there's just something weighing on your heart that you just got to pray through, but even when you don't, because there are always urgent needs in this world, aren't there? And apart from all the urgent needs, God just wants us to live close to him. He wants us to draw near to him. He wants to commune with us. So train yourself to listen and train yourself to obey. Notice when Samuel's call came. It came as he was involved in service. He was at the tabernacle already. He was serving the Lord already. A lot of times we think, you know, I'll serve the Lord if he'll just call me. And then we sit back and wait. That's not the way to hear, is it? If you want to hear from the Lord, he's already given us a general call. He's already called us to make disciples of all the nations. He's already called us to walk with him, to draw near to him, to serve him. As we embrace that general call, God will hone it down. He'll make clear the more particular call he has on our lives. But if we won't embrace the general call of God, how are we going to hear from him about a particular call? Very often, people will get a more particular call while they're serving God in a more general way. A lot of times that place of service is a place where we can best hear God's voice. And it doesn't have to be a big spiritual service. It doesn't have to be something where, you know, you're fasting and praying for 40 days, or where you're standing up in the park preaching to crowds of people. You know, those are times when it's, you know, your focus is directly on the Lord and you've got stuff to do. He may not be calling you to something else because you're already doing something. But a lot of times it's in those humble times of service. One of the times when I experienced the Lord's presence most in my life was when a group of men from our church went down and did relief work after Hurricane Katrina. And there was a lot of relief work that went on, but what we were doing was we were just serving meals. And the place where I sensed the presence of the Lord most of all was in the dish pit, washing the pots and pans. And boy, there was a pile of them. Every meal, we were serving something like 3,000 meals a day. And there were 27 of us in the camp. So it's like, it was intense. And you would think, you know, I'm so busy, how can I hear from the Lord? But you know what? The presence of the Lord was so strong there. I just could hear him. It just seemed like loud and clear that whole time, just in there washing the dishes, praying for the people, communing with the Lord. It doesn't have to be something that we think of as noble or we think of as super spiritual. We just offer ourselves to the Lord for his service. And the more we do that, the more we hear from him. Samuel was faithful in service. Hophni and Phinehas, Eli's sons, weren't. They weren't hearing from the Lord because they were just serving themselves. But Samuel was serving the Lord by serving Eli, and God spoke to him. God speaks to us in different ways, doesn't he? He speaks to us as individuals in different ways. He speaks to us in different ways in this world. Sometimes just seeing the beauty of his creation reveals afresh to us his goodness and his beauty. Sometimes we hear from him through our circumstances. You know, a lot of times you'll hear someone say, well, I was going to do this, but God shut the door on me. He speaks to us by our circumstances sometimes. Now, we have to be careful that we don't look to our circumstances instead of looking to him directly. But we want to read our circumstances in light of what God says, right? There are times when the door is shut because he wants you to start knocking on it. He wants you to try the handle to see if it's locked. He wants you to put your shoulder against it and see if it'll give, because he wants you going through it. He doesn't want you saying, oh, the door's shut, I can't go there. No, but he wants you to listen through the circumstances as well as through everything else. God's going to speak to us through others. A lot of times we don't hear directly from the Lord. You know, for some reason, we've not got ourselves in a place where we're hearing directly from him. God will speak to us through others if we'll listen. If there are others around us who will be faithful to share. We need to be aware that God doesn't always just speak directly to us. I love a quote that Charles Spurgeon had. He said, it's amazing, and I'm going to just paraphrase it. It's amazing that some people who think so highly of what the Holy Spirit says to them think so little of what the Holy Spirit says to others. Is that an interesting quote? You know, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to me directly, well, I need to pay attention to that. But if he's speaking to someone else and going to speak to me through that, I should be paying attention to that too. It's the same Holy Spirit, right? So don't put yourself in a place where you can't hear from others. I remember one time we were having a difficult situation at work, and I knew there was going to be a big layoff, and I thought, wow, I might get laid off this time. It was pretty intense. And, you know, when those times come, there's all this gossip going on. There's all these rumors spreading, and every little fact or not fact you want to hear. You know, this might be the key of what's going to happen. I don't know why we want to hear, because it's going to happen whether or not we hear or not, and we just cause ourselves a lot of misery. But I remember asking this one woman if she'd heard anything. And as I did, she said, oh, the company gossip. My goodness, she has called, she, one of the most ungodly people there, called me a gossip. I go, oh my, I had to go repent and say, okay, Lord, this is up to you. I don't need to know this. But you know what? I had to hear from the Lord through her. What if I had said, oh, who are you to talk to me? You know, you don't even know the Lord. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a gossip. That's why I came to ask you if you knew anything. You know, I wouldn't have learned, would I? I wouldn't have heard what the Lord had for me. We have to be listening, even as God speaks through others. But remember, primarily he's going to speak to us through his word. Through his word. Don't neglect the word of God. It takes a little more work sometimes, doesn't it? It's a little easier to say, Lord, I just want you to speak it out of the air, into my ear, in a way that I can hear. That would be easy. But God wants us to dig. He wants us to work at it so that we can understand better how he speaks, what he's like. So if you have a decision to make, go to the word. Ask the Lord, Lord, speak to me through your word, and start reading his word and see what he will say to you. He'll never violate his word. God will never violate his word. You can trust what he says through it. We need a widespread revelation in our land today. We want to hear from God in our church. We want to hear what he has for us. We want to hear the direction that he wants us to go. We want to hear what he wants us to do. We want to learn what he wants to teach us. And that's going to come not just through the pulpit. That's going to come through us as a church, seeking the Lord individually and sharing with one another. God's going to speak to us through the pulpit, hopefully every time we gather, but there's more to it than that. God wants to speak to us as individuals. There are many people here who know you better than I do. They're going to know more about your life situation. Hopefully I'll be getting to know you better as time goes on. But they may be more equipped to speak into your life than I am. You may be more equipped to speak into someone else's life than I am. God may be calling you to do that. And God is calling all of us to speak the truth to others. Whether they're saved or not, God calls us to be his spokespeople. He wants us sharing the truth with others. God has shown the nation a need. God is meeting the need. He's speaking to them through Samuel. God has shown us a need. In our land, in our lives, in our church, we have needs. God wants us to seek him, and he wants to speak to us, and he wants us to pull together as a church, everyone doing his part for God's work to be done. God still calls people. He still speaks to his people. The question is, are we really listening to him? And as we listen, are we ready to obey? Shall we pray? Father, we're so grateful that you love us, that you speak to us for our good, not just to hear the sound of your own voice, Lord, but because you have a plan to bless us and to use us to bless others. Lord, please draw us nearer to you. Help us to hear your voice more clearly. Help us to put aside the things that distract us from hearing from you. Help us to seek you in your word. And Lord, give us hearts to obey and to follow you, no matter what you say, no matter where you lead, no matter what the cost, Lord. For you know what's best for us. Lord, work in us. As we draw near for communion, speak to us. Show us anything you want us to turn away from in our hearts, our minds, our lives. Prepare our hearts, Lord, for this time of sharing. In Jesus' name, amen.